Clara Malone sat alone in the airport, her grandmother's labored request rushing through her mind.
My love, deliver.
Clara had explained that the post office could get the letter to General Medeiros faster and for way less money, but she wasn't interested.
In person. Last wish.
Last wish? Clara didn't agree with many of the decisions her grandmother had made, but she loved her. And family was family, and a last wish was a last wish. Not the kind of thing one says no to. Timing couldn't have been worse, though. Fresh out of college, broke, and without a job. Good grief. She surveyed the large atrium of the El Paso International Airport, fanning herself with her grandmother's jasmine-scented maple gold envelope. No sign of the general yet. Instead, across a playful and sunny path created by a series of tall arched windows, she spotted him. The young army captain she'd seen at the airport's placita. While falling in love with an overpriced silver bracelet she couldn't possibly afford. She turned her attention to the letter again, lips pressed together. What was in it? She lifted her eyes and studied the captain's red hair. He was handsome. She had to give him that. Ginger. He looked like someone famous. But who? The captain checked his phone. If only Captain Ginger stood closer. And that's when he shot a smile her way. Oh, no. She looked away so fast, she startled a pretty blonde who just sat next to her. But not fast enough. She now had his warm expression etched in her brain. Why did she have to look at him? She fanned herself with her grandmother's letter again, its floral perfume mingling with the blonde's. Wait a minute. Clara checked out the girl next to her from the corner of her eye. Midnight blue silk spaghetti strap top. Designer jeans, perfect figure to go with it. You fool, he's not looking at you. He's looking at the blonde. He was way too perfect, way too cool. Not interested anyway. She had already made her own soldier boy mistake. Go ahead, Blondie, your turn. Maggie Lawrence pushed a curling tendril of dark brown hair from her face. She looked around at the empty train platform, considering her next move. The train was strangely on time, a possibility her greeter might not have considered. She picked up a suitcase in each hand and sat down on a bench facing the tracks. The day was warm and sunny, with a slight breeze to keep things comfortable, a typical late August morning in a 1949 prairie town. She had nearly dozed off in the sunshine when she heard a deep voice beside her. Miss Lawrence. She jumped up quickly, knocking one suitcase on its side as she did. Yes? It was then she looked up into a set of piercing blue eyes surrounded by a well-tanned face that was set, maybe not in disapproval, but certainly not in welcome. I wonder what I've done now. Becoming whole can be an interesting process of uncharted territory. Many overlook this process. They assume their life is the way it should be. They dismiss it by saying, I have been hurt, I have hurt others. And it's just the cycle of life. This is not the end of the story, nor is it the way God intended it to be. Thinking about whole, you think of a pie. You might even think of words like entire, lacking nothing, nothing missing. Perfect and complete. All of these words are good synonyms for the word whole and give you a good picture on its literal meaning. However, what does whole truly mean when looking at it through the eyes of Christ? Why is it important that we be made whole?
This is for them. This is for the magic. This is for every little dreamer in the room. Dozens of little awestruck faces crowded the large studio as I took position to practice my Sugar Plum Fairy solo. Everyone in the company in the school had come together for the first full-length rehearsal of the Nutcracker season. I'd been in every one of those shoes. Mouse, soldier, angel, every flower, every food, and every country. Now I was the Sugar Plum Fairy at long last, the one role that eluded me all those years. Had it been worth the wait, images of the first Sugar Plum Fairy rehearsal I'd ever seen flashed before my eyes. A beloved mental movie my heart flocked to every year around this time. Sergei Prokofiev's music, filled my heart with adolescent passion as I rehearse the Romeo and Juliet balcony scene with Klaus. Each haunting note set me on fire, a slow burning and all-consuming fire that was as pure as it was intense.
Once upon a time in Hero World, there had been a lot of changes since all the heroes had saved Freezer from becoming a villain. Freezer and Dangerless got married and now work at the headquarters of Hero World. Since Dangerless and Freezer are not the head of all the missions, Hero would have to pick new people, and they chose Water Girl and Glitter Girl. Also a change that was made is that the heroes had some power changes. Water Girl now can not only start flooding or shoot water, she can run speedy fast and can jump really high. Water Girl can also make an earthquake with her foot. All she has to do is stomp really hard. Glitter Girl can now shoot lasers from her eyes, and she can freeze time. Also, Glitter Girl unlocked the superpower of being able to fly. One day, both the girls were getting ready for a mission when all of a sudden a bag swallows both Water Girl and Glitter Girl. They had no idea what was going on or who had caught them. They both tried all they could do to get out, but nothing was working. Glitter Girl and Water Girl both realized they were thrown into a vehicle. They were being flown somewhere, but they had no idea where. When they finally landed, they were thrown on the ground. When the bag came off of them, they saw Jealousness and Z-Fly. As soon as both girls saw them, Glitter Girl tried shooting lasers to stop them, but it was too late. "How are we going to get out of here?" Glitter Girl cried in fear. But Water Girl had nothing to say, not even words of encouragement, because she had no idea how they were going to get off the island. Later, Glitter Girl and Water Girl went looking for food, but they were stopped by a jaguar that tried attacking them. "On three," Glitter Girl told Water Girl, and Water Girl knew exactly what she wanted her to do.